The following program, The Russ Belville Show, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate to the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate any illegal activity and encourage all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers on The Russ Belville Show are their own, and The Russ Belville Show cannot be held legally responsible for their validity or reliability. Viewer discretion is advised.
You took a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it.
And it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization. To the agony of prohibition.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation. Brought to you by the National Cannabis Coalition.
Yeah, I hear you had a question for me.
Now, here's your host, Radical Russ Belville.
Tokers and tokettes, welcome. It is Monday, July 30th, 2012, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. It's also got to be the start of Legalization Week right here on the Russ Belville Show. All week long, we've got guests here to talk from the five states that will be voting on some form of marijuana legalization. Coming up today, we've got Mason Tvert from Regulate Marijuana Like Alcohol in Colorado. Tomorrow, Allison Holcomb from New Approach Washington, I-502. We're hoping to book on Wednesday Paul Stanford from the Oregon Cannabis Tax Act, and we're reaching out to Massachusetts, which is voting on medical marijuana for Thursday, and Montana, which has a medical marijuana referendum on Friday. So stay tuned all week long here at National Cannabis Radio, NCR420.com. And we got Olympic fever. You can probably tell from the backdrop here. Go USA. Been having a good time watching those Olympics out there in London. Also on today's show, I've got to rant on the Oregonian, our local newspaper, which published two just almost comical editorials, if they weren't so tragic, opposing marijuana legalization here in the state of Oregon. But before we get to all that, let's introduce everyone here in the studio. We've got Wiz Calico here. How you doing, Calico? Good to see you today.
Hello. Doing good. Glad to be here. Thank you.
Calico today is representing the Hawaiian Kingdom. I gave you the Hawaiian flag.
Big ups.
We got the red, white, and blue going, and it's got the Union Jack in it, so it kind of fits the Olympic thing.
It was our homage to France, Britain, and the U.S.
That's awfully sweet of you. Also, we got Ganja John over here at the engineer desk. How are you doing, John?
What's up, Russ? How are you doing, buddy?
Doing good, man. I hear you're getting entered into different competitions. Is that something we can talk about yet?
Not just yet, but shifting our focuses a little bit.
Fantastic. We're looking forward to that. And, of course, we'll be covering all that stuff. And also in our virtual studio in Grassdoria, Oregon, our news director, Carrie Gallagher. Hi, Carrie.
Hello, everybody. Happy Monday.
Happy Monday to you. Carrie brings us our Cannabis Chronicle right after the break, the latest news headlines in marijuana. So what's in the news today, Carrie?
Well, today we've got some numbers out from the Colorado Medical Marijuana Program that had some people in the industry kind of surprised. I'm going to tell you about that. Also, a big celebrity gets his sentence from a Scandinavian country. I'll cover that. We're going to talk about a Republican candidate who canceled the fundraiser at the last minute, and also a doctor's group who is opposing legalization efforts. That all coming up on today's Cannabis Chronicles.
All right. Plenty of news we've got to get to. It's going to be a busy news year, folks, with all the different legalization initiatives going on and all the different opponents that are coming out against it. And we're going to cover it here at National Cannabis Radio. So you'll have the arguments. You'll have that right there ready to go when they start bringing this kind of stuff up. You can shoot it right down and we can build more support for legalization. It's got to happen somewhere and it's going to happen here out west. And we're going to move like a wave across this country and bring legalization to everyone. Now, also on today's show, it's Roots Monday, so I'm going to bring you some Roots Monday music from Canada, from Vancouver, BC, as a matter of fact. Tall Brothers in the house today with You Get Me Too High. Then at half past, like I mentioned, Mason Tvert from Colorado and Regulate Marijuana Like Alcohol. And at 45 past, we're going to attack the Oregonians' two editorials against the Oregon Cannabis Tax Act. Oh my God, it's just totally rant worthy. I might spill over into hour two. We hope you join us for hour two as well, where we take your calls at 971-533-7111. We are the voice of the Marijuana Nation, and you can be a part of it. Thanks for joining us. Be right back after this.
It's simply business. It's simply business. It's simply business, you know why they won't let us grow. It's simply business.
We'll be right back after these messages from our 420 friendly sponsors. Support these advertisers because their ad money goes straight to the Russ Belville Show. You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the Marijuana Nation, brought to you by the National Cannabis Coalition.
It's simply business. It's simply business. It's simply business. You know why they won't let us grow. It's simply business. It's simply business. You know why they won't let us grow. It's simply business.
Support the Russ Belville Show. Text the word RUSS to 420-420 and connect with the National Cannabis Coalition. You can also send $10 to the Russ Belville Show right from your smartphone. That's RUSS to 420-420. You're listening to Radical Russ on the Russ Belville Show. Coleco's wallet and cell phone are missing. Again. And Taco Bell's already been searched. We gotta look somewhere. Help us legalize it. Text NCC to 420-420 and send $10 to the National Cannabis Coalition. Medical marijuana, industrial hemp, ganja sacrament, consumer cannabis. The topic of marijuana is heating up the news, and the Russ Belville Show catches you up with today's latest headlines. Now, here's our senior news editor, Cannabis Carey, with the Daily Cannabis Chronicle.
Statistics out from the Colorado Department of Public Health and Environment last week show some surprising numbers in the Colorado medical marijuana program. The most recent count of actual patient numbers comes from the end of May, with 98,910 cardholders in the state. Last Thursday, the department released a, quote, snapshot analysis of the entire state registry, where they found that only 9.6% of patients enrolled in the Colorado medical marijuana program assigned someone else to grow their marijuana for them. A full 43.6% of patients have given that right to a medical marijuana dispensary. Now, the remaining 48.6% of patients either grow their own or have a caregiver who has not opted into the system. Now, they did not list the number of patients that specifically said they would be growing their own on their applications for a card. Medical marijuana cardholders in Colorado can legally shop at dispensaries without listing any shops as a primary caregiver. Now, this is the first time that the Colorado Department of Public Health has released these kinds of statistics about the state program, but the low number of caregivers was surprising to many industry watchers. A caregiver is legally defined as someone who has a significant responsibility for managing the care of a patient with a debilitating medical condition. They have the right to carry, transport, and grow marijuana.
Well, yeah, I don't know if this is really that surprising, especially with Colorado having such an expansive medical marijuana distribution system now, where they got, you know, dispensaries everywhere you look. At least the places I've been in Colorado, and admittedly, that's just been Denver and the suburbs areas around that. And I know there's places in Colorado also that are trying to ban and have successfully banned some of these outlets. But really, the 43.6%, right? You know, two out of five, a little more than two out of five of your patients there getting their medical marijuana from a dispensary. And, you know, that doesn't surprise me because I think that a lot of what we see in caregiver numbers in other states is really reflective of the fact that it's kind of a pain in the ass to grow marijuana. It just is. It's just there's a lot involved to it. There's a schedule you're tied to. There's and some people with certain debilitating illnesses or ailments or conditions might not be able to do so. Get down on their hands and knees, you know, it hurts their back, whatever the excuse might be. And you also have to factor in that a lot of people are living in certain circumstances where growing marijuana would just not be conducive to their lifestyle. They might be in an apartment. There might be, you know, they might worry about having kids around. They might live in a neighborhood that has certain, you know, covenants on those kind of things. You know, there's all sorts of reasons these numbers could be what they are. Carrie, I did have one question on this, on the patient number, you know, 98,000. Mm-hmm. Is that a decrease or an increase from the prior reporting? Do we have any news on that?
It's about the same, but the surprise of that number was years ago they estimated that about one in two patients had caregivers. So, but it was only an estimate then. We've never really seen the hard numbers until now.
Okay, so the estimate was way off. Well, it's good that we got the hard science here. Anytime we want to talk about these issues, we want to make sure that we've actually done some surveys rather than try to guess this stuff. So I guess good news coming out of Colorado that we're getting the facts.
A Republican congressional candidate in California has canceled a fundraising event at the last minute due to his co-host's son, who was just arrested on federal marijuana charges associated with the California medical marijuana industry. Ricky Gill, a Californian businessman and farmer, is running for the 9th congressional district in California. He was holding a $125 plate lunch tomorrow in Stockton at a restaurant called La Bistro, a local restaurant owned by Bruce Davies, a local realtor who was listed as the event's co-host. News published this morning pointed out that Bruce Davies had applied to open a medical dispensary in Stockton and wanted to use the restaurant's kitchen to prepare infused edible marijuana products. He never got that far, but Bruce Davies' son, Matthew Davies, was indicted by a federal grand jury earlier this month for marijuana cultivation charges. Matthew Davies, along with two other Stockton men, are accused of growing marijuana in a warehouse and a home in Stockton. In Matthew's case, he was stopped last September by a California Highway Patrol. He told the officer that his marijuana storage facility, where he stored the medical marijuana for the Medizin dispensary in Sacramento, hardly an effort to hide his activities. The federal agents caught on to that. They later seized almost 2,000 plants from that warehouse and 40 pounds of processed marijuana. They said they were also supplying a second cooperative in Stockton. Now, with the details of the case being reported to the local media, Gill decided to promptly cancel his lunch tomorrow at La Bistro. And according to his campaign spokesman, he wants it also known that he never received any contributions from the Davies family. Gill campaign spokesperson Colin Hunter also went on to explain that Gill, quote, does not object to the legitimate physician-prescribed use of marijuana to treat serious chronic or debilitating illnesses. He believes state and federal government should work together to craft a sensible enforcement plan that will hold accountable those individuals operating outside or in clear violation of medical marijuana regimes, but will not penalize seriously ill patients seeking only to manage their pain, unquote. Now, that's good to know for the California politician. Gill's website does not address the medical marijuana issue and does not mention marijuana even once. His opponent, Representative Jerry McNeary, a Democrat that happens to be from Stockton, has voiced support for an amendment that would inhibit the feds from spending any money to go after people following state medical marijuana laws. McNeary was once opposed to such legislation but changed his opinion in 2008. Gill's camp is accusing McNeary of the press surrounding the murmurs that he is accepting funding from medical marijuana industry insiders.
I always love the reaction of these people in a state like California, where not only is there massive support for medical marijuana, like there is everywhere, but it's known that there's massive support for medical marijuana. That's kind of the dirty little secret in other states, you know, in Tennessee's and Maine, all these places around the country, is that everybody everywhere supports medical marijuana. It's just in some states you don't know that your neighbor does, right? That's been pulled, you've been fooled by this. But the one thing about this that is interesting to me here is how they react with of course I support, physicians helping seriously sick people. I mean, my God, what kind of monster do you think I am that we would lock people up for treating their illness? My God, they're just in pain. I would never. What kind of person do you think I am? Oh, but if they're healthy, shit, lock them up and throw away the key. That's the thing that cracks cracks me up about that response is the implication on the other end of that is you are the kind of monster who would support locking me up if I weren't sick, right? So $125 a plate fundraiser for a congressional candidate, Republican congressional candidate in California, dashed because of a tangential association with some guy who's got a son and preparing edibles in the kitchen. Oh, my God. They're just going to realize on both sides of the aisle here, Republicans and Democrats, that especially out here in the West, that you are not getting through the political minefields without addressing the medical marijuana issue. And if you don't, it's going to come up somehow. It'll come up like something like this, where it messes up your little fundraiser. So I'm afraid I don't shed too many tears for Ricky Gill.
And the American Society of Addiction Medicine, a physicians group with over 3,000 members, met last week for their annual meeting. One of the issues they tackled was to prepare a response to the state-level legalization marijuana efforts. Three states already have a legalization law heading to their ballots for the voters to decide come November: Colorado, Washington, and Oregon. They released a white paper on the issue that was approved by the ASAM Board of Directors last week, and in part, it urges physicians and other health professionals to learn more about what they call the real health threats posed by marijuana use, all of which is made worse by legalization. The paper calls for physicians to lead efforts against these ballot initiatives. The report was put together by a group of doctors on a committee that included Dr. Robert DuPont, former White House drug czar and the former director for the National Institute on Drug Abuse, and one non-MD that made that committee, PhD Kevin Sabet. In the paper, they say that they have concluded that marijuana would threaten public health because it is not safe and it is associated with damage to organs and tissues and it impairs brain function. They also categorically state that marijuana is addictive, with 9% of people who try it becoming dependent, and they say a full 17% of those that try marijuana during their teen years become dependent. They say those figures are similar to alcohol dependence. They also point out that marijuana doubles the risk of a car crash, warning that marijuana is a major traffic safety hazard.
All right, folks, time to get into the lightning round. We are going to tear this white paper apart. Marijuana use is neither safe nor harmless. Well, that's true, absolutely. It does contain psychoactive cannabinoids, which produce a sense of discomfort or even paranoid thoughts in some users. Well, not a whole lot of users, very, very few users. Cannabinoids interact with brain circuits in comparable ways to opioids. No, not exactly like opioids. Cocaine and other addictive drugs? No, I'm afraid not. We don't have we have an endocannabinoid system that works for, and that's why we enjoy cannabis so much. Marijuana use is associated with damage to specific organs and tissues and impairments. No, that's absolutely false. Marijuana is non-toxic to healthy cells and organs. Of greatest concern is marijuana use during adolescence. Well, yeah, that's a time of ongoing brain development, heightened vulnerability to addiction. Only problem is that kids have greater access to marijuana right now because it is illegal and nobody is checking their ID. They also like to say here that marijuana is addictive. Well, it's actually kind of true here. They say 9% of the people who try marijuana become dependent. What they fail to tell you is that 9% is the lowest rate of any of the popular drugs out there, not compared to alcohol, which is 15%, compared to cocaine, which is 23%, compared to heroin, which is 32%, and compared to tobacco, which is 35%. Legalization would promote the public perception that marijuana use and marijuana-related substance use disorders would be harmless. No, legalization would not promote the public perception that marijuana is harmless, because we would finally be able to tell people the truth about it and be able to give people accurate education about what marijuana can do, and we can provide for them the use responsibly messages that have worked so much, so well for alcohol in bringing down alcohol-related deaths and alcohol-related problems in our society. We could also use a system of public education for the use of the substance that, like tobacco, has reduced the children's use of tobacco to its lowest rates ever measured. Increased marijuana addiction would heighten demand for substance use disorder treatment services, which are already inadequate. Well, that's kind of a mixed message there, because you keep throwing people in treatment that are marijuana users that don't need treatment. Fully 37% of the people that go into treatment for marijuana have not used marijuana in the past month that they've been there, and 60% of the people there for marijuana only were coerced there by the criminal justice system. You want to have more beds for heroin addicts? Stop putting the marijuana users in there. Marijuana use has increased increasing rates of psychosis. Absolutely false. The rates of psychosis and Schizophrenia in the United States and the world have remained the same at about between 1 and 1.1% for all time, even when cannabis use goes up. Marijuana-related crashes are major traffic threats. No, they are not. People are not dying from major marijuana traffic threats. In fact, marijuana would mean less use of alcohol and less traffic deaths.
It's 420 back in Idaho, where Russ and Carrie were born. So we have to go connect with our roots. You know what I mean? Please support these sponsors who support the Russ Belville Show.
We'll have to save our news from Norway till hour two. Thanks, Carrie, for the headlines. When we come back, some Roots Monday music from the Tall Brothers. Stick around. It's the Russ Belville Show.
If he said he swam to China, he would send you South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
The law offices of Omar Figueroa would like to remind you to stand up for your rights. Please do not give up your precious liberties. There's nothing wrong with standing up for our constitutional rights, and in fact, it's the only way to honor the Constitution that recognizes our natural rights. Treat law enforcement with respect and respect the Constitution by standing up for your rights. If you are detained or arrested, stand up for your rights by repeating, "I respectfully invoke all my legal and constitutional rights. I do not consent to any search and seizure. I want to remain silent, and I want to speak to my attorney, Omar Figueroa." Omar Figueroa has more than a decade of experience in federal and California courts and graduated from Yale University, Stanford Law School, and Trial Lawyers College. Please contact the law offices of Omar Figueroa at 415-489-0420 or 707-829-0215 or on the web at www.omarfigueroa.com.
I have to say that there was one question that was voted on that ranked fairly high, and that was whether legalizing marijuana would improve the economy and job creation. I don't know what this says about the online audience, but the answer is no. I don't think that is a good strategy to grow our economy. So.
About nearly 1 million lives wrecked by a marijuana arrest every year, Mr. President. Politely tell President Obama what you think about legalization by calling the White House at 202-456-1111. Knows music and marijuana go together, so let's wind up our 20 after break with the Russ Belville Show's Daily Toker Tunes, the best in pod safe 420 music from around the web. Today is Roots Monday, featuring the blues, country, folk, and jazz music that birthed the modern sounds we enjoy today. You can get downloads and more information about all our Daily Toker Tunes by visiting music.radicalrust.com. Now, sit back and enjoy your Daily Toker Tunes.
All right, folks, welcome back. And for this Roots Monday, you know, I'm going to bring something back to our network that we used to do a while ago. And it was a little show that we had called The Viper Hour. And a good friend of ours, Cannabob, out there, used to run The Viper Hour. It was a great little show that delved into the early cannabis culture, going back to that reefer jazz era, you know, Jive, Muggles, Louis Armstrong, Cab Calloway, those kind of guys. And I think it's so important that we revive that and we remind people that our cannabis culture goes back to the beginning of the 20th century, right? Because they keep making this cultural argument about, well, alcohol, we've got this culture. We've got this culture of marijuana, too, and it's over a century old. So we're going to keep highlighting that. And so coming up tomorrow, I'm going to run a little new Viper Hour of my own and put together some of those songs and bring back some of that old reefer jazz. So hope you'll join us tomorrow night. We're just going to give this a little experiment, see how it works. So more details coming up in hour two. But for today's Roots Monday song, I'm going to go to a group, a couple of brothers, the Tall Brothers, as a matter of fact, who are out of Vancouver, British Columbia, and they have revived the reefer jazz phenomenon with a modern sound. You know, they're just covering some of those old songs, plus some original songs that they have put together as well that fit that whole reefer jazz vibe. So I'm going to bring some of that to you. You can find more out about the Tall Brothers at tallbrothers.ca. That's their Canadian website, tallbrothers.ca. I'm sure they're on Facebook as well. This is the Tall Brothers with You Get Me Too High.
You get me too high. I overanalyze. If you've ever been too high, then you can sympathize. You get me too high. And I start to fly. If I said some silly thing, then that's the reason why. Shiva, my sativa, you get me too high. Funny how the sky and each cloud and every moment seem to drift right by. You get me too high. I've never been this shy, but I swear I'll love you, baby, till the day I die. Shiva, my sativa, you get me too high. Sympathize. You get me too high.
Too high.
And I start to fly. If I said some silly thing, then that's the reason why. Shiva, my sativa, you get me too high.
Get me too high.
Hey Shiva, got a fever. You get me too high.
Dear Dad, how should I say this? You know how you enjoy a drink after work? Well, in many ways, I'm just like you. I have a good job, I work hard, but when I get home, I prefer to relax with marijuana instead of alcohol. They're a little similar, but marijuana is actually less damaging to my health, and frankly, I don't feel like crap the next day. I hope this makes sense, but if not, let's talk.
TalkItUpColorado.org. Start your conversation about marijuana, paid for by the campaign to regulate marijuana like alcohol.
I like that.
Well, I don't know what you can do, but what we can keep the funk alive.
Oh, yeah, we're definitely keeping the funk alive here at National Cannabis Radio. This is Big Daddy Fink, and I want you to join me at the Funky Roller Rink, where it's always a funky party, y'all. Every Thursday night, 11 Eastern, 8 Pacific. Keep it funky, keep it funky, keep it funky.
Marijuana re-legalization is not likely to happen first at the federal level. It's going to happen state by state. We turn now to our 50 state legislatures and assemblies for the Russ Belville Show's Legalization Legislation Update.
All right, folks, welcome. It's actually having our legalization week, and not so much at the legislature, but in this case, with the people. And joining us here to talk about it, we've got Mason Tvert from Regulate Marijuana Like Alcohol, the Amendment 64 campaign in Colorado that would legalize marijuana for all adults 21 and over. Mason, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me.
All right, so we're on the ballot. We're going to legalize marijuana in Colorado. Can you tell us what the forecast looks like so far? Do you got some polling numbers you can reveal to us?
Well, generally, all the polling over the last 18 months has found that support is in the vicinity of 48% to 52%, and opposition is around 38% to 42%. But ultimately, we know that it's more or less 50-50. It's going to be a very close race, and it could go in 1 or 2 percentage points in either direction. So we're really doing everything we can to build as much support as possible so that we can have the best shot here in November.
All right. Are there any, is there a lot of undecideds in this to push, or is everybody pretty much galvanized at this point?
Well, ultimately, they're, you know, undecideds in this case are not necessarily people who don't know if they think marijuana should be legal or not, but in a lot of cases, it's people who understand that marijuana prohibition is a failure and appreciate that adults shouldn't be arrested for using marijuana, but still aren't quite sure of, you know, whether this is the right time or the right way, and really just need to have that affirmation. They need to hear from their friends and their family and other people that they trust that this isn't a, you know, this is okay to do, and now's the time to do it. So we're really trying to get that word out there to these people, because we know that they are supportive. We just need them to pull the trigger.
You know, we've been showing the various billboards and playing your commercials as well, the Dear Mom, the Dear Dad ads, and we especially liked the Pat Robertson billboard. How have those billboards gone over, and have you seen any change in public opinion from them?
Well, they've gone over very well, and they certainly serve their purpose in that they've generated a whole lot of media coverage and, as a result, a whole lot of public dialogue. And ultimately, when people are talking about the issue, that is when we see support grow. So they've done their job in that they've gotten people talking, they've been in the news, and they've certainly conveyed messages that get people thinking about, you know, whether it makes sense to make criminals out of, you know, people who are simply using a substance safer than alcohol, and getting people thinking about, you know, having conversations with their parents or other family members about the issue. And of course, with the Pat Robertson bill, we're getting people to think about the fact that support for any marijuana prohibition spans the political spectrum. So they've done their job in that sense. You know, we're not really spending our limited resources on polling to see if there's been any movements, but we are really pushing to keep that discussion going.
All right. We're speaking with Mason Tvert from Regulate Marijuana Like Alcohol. Check out regulatemarijuana.org for more information, text to the initiative, and so forth. So you mentioned there was, you know, a lot of people that are supportive of the abstract concept that the war on drugs has failed, we need to regulate marijuana. But in the concrete, they're a little bit skittish, like, is this the right time? Is this the right measure? What are we doing to show them that the time is now and this is the right measure?
Well, you know, ultimately we're doing a couple of things. We're trying to ensure that they're comfortable with marijuana itself. So we've spent really the last 7 years here in Colorado, but also the past several months, focusing on this message that marijuana is safer than alcohol. It's not a problem for adults who are 21 and older to simply use marijuana responsibly, as they would have a glass of wine at dinner or a cocktail after work, and really getting people to just accept that and not be fearful of the notion that there will be marijuana use taking place. We've also been really hammering home some of the facts that are coming out here in Colorado about how regulation has been working. We've seen teen marijuana use decrease over the last few years as Colorado has regulated medical marijuana. And so we're trying to make sure that people are aware of this, and our opponents are screaming about how use will go up, when in fact the evidence shows that regulation results in less access and less teen use. So we want to make that clear. And then finally, we're really, trying to, as I said earlier, provide that affirmation to people, mostly by getting people to talk to one another. We want people talking to their friends and their family members and their colleagues about how they do support this and they will be voting for this, and really just letting people know that it's okay to do that. We're also building a strong list of endorsements and so on, organizations, individuals that are supportive to make sure people are aware that they're not alone in supporting this, that it is experience a whole lot of support across the board.
You know, you brought up the Colorado Medical Marijuana Program, which is now very regulated and pretty much, you know, an accepted way of life in most of Colorado. And I was wondering how that would play into the legalization campaign, in that what you're proposing as far as home cultivation limits, possession limits, isn't substantially different from what was originally proposed with Amendment 20, if I'm not mistaken, similar limits. Why is it tougher to convince Coloradans that healthy people should have the same limits as the sick people originally got?
Well, you know, there's generally just always this notion that, well, for one thing, there's a lot of people who don't support it in either case. But there's really, a lot of people who have felt that they've been more likely to support reform when it's based on individuals who are suffering from debilitating conditions and so on. And really, when it comes down to it, is criminalizing people who are using marijuana to relieve their conditions and symptoms is perhaps the most egregious element of marijuana prohibition. So there's far more public support for that generally. But when it comes down to it, more and more people are seeing that this system is working. They're seeing it's not a problem. It's not causing any sort of increased crime. It's not resulting in increased teen use. In fact, it's decreasing. We just need to have that conversation, get more and more people talking about it, because the more they do, the more they come to understand that there's, it's just as much a no-brainer to regulate all marijuana sales as it is just with medical.
Yeah, it does seem to be mostly cultural and moral objections once you really get down to it. Mason, we reported on a story, Kerry Gallagher, our news director, brought it up, in Colorado, attack coming from your opponents trying to, paint this as some sort of carpetbagging issue with, scary billionaire George Soros donating so much money and trying to help you guys out. I wanted to give you the chance to set the record straight on that with the whole George Soros attack.
Sure. Well, we actually haven't received any money at all from George Soros, but we certainly, if George Soros reads this initiative and decides that he supports it and wants to donate to this effort, that's certainly welcome. But as of now, we've not seen any money from him. So, it's unfortunate. I mean, our opponents, I think something like 3/4 or more of the money that they've received has come from one extremist organization based out of Florida called Save Our Society from Drugs. And, this argument over where money is coming from is just irrelevant. I mean, the fact is we've got, tens of thousands of people in Colorado who are supportive of this. We've got thousands of volunteers now, hundreds of businesses, a long list of organizations and other local leaders that are supportive of this. And, it just goes to show that there really isn't a whole lot for them to work with. I mean, they're clutching at straws. And when they don't have any good arguments on the issue, they just resort to talking about things like that. So if that's what they, if that's the conversation they want to have, then that's great, because we're going to have a real conversation about marijuana and they can just keep talking about money, and that's fine.
Well, Mason Tvert with the campaign in Colorado, Amendment 64, Regulate Marijuana Like Alcohol. Folks, check out the website, regulatemarijuana.org, and I'm assuming they can make financial donations if they go out there.
Yeah, absolutely. And we're now, offering T-shirts and stickers and buttons to folks just for small donations. So you can check that out. And we're going to have some things that people can do to help out here online as well. So whether you're in Colorado or not, please check out the site.
Yeah, especially if you're not in Colorado. Folks, I hear people all the time, they're never going to legalize in Texas. They're never going to legalize in Virginia. Well, yeah, not until maybe Colorado does it first and then provides the blueprint for how it's done. We've got to legalize somewhere, and your money can help. So send it out here to regulatemarijuana.org. Let's get it passed. Make it the true Rocky Mountain High in Colorado. It's going to be a game changer. It's going to change the world when even just one U.S. state legalizes marijuana. Now, Mason, on a personal note, how are you holding up? How's the campaign treating you?
Oh, it's going great. You know, it's getting very fast paced, and you know, we're really coming down the home stretch. It's almost August. It's pretty remarkable that it's almost August, and we're 100 days away from the election. And we have a great team here that's going to be doing everything in our power to push it across the finish line.
You know, if I can take you a little afield of this of the initiative for a second and get your opinion on a political matter. You know, we have some you know, pundits that are saying that Colorado might be kind of close as far as the presidential election goes, and with President Obama's raids against medical marijuana states, that there might be some swing there in Colorado. You got any thoughts on that idea?
Well, yeah, there's been a whole lot of attention to it because this issue can actually have an impact in a few different ways. Perhaps the biggest ways is, number one, it could be an issue that brings a lot of younger and non-traditional voters out to the polls who might otherwise not be voting but feel like they should. And that could be younger voters who otherwise would not vote at all. But it also could be people who might vote, you know, college students who are still registered in other states but might want to re-register here in Colorado so that they have the opportunity to vote on this initiative. That's one side of it, which in theory would help Obama. Then on the other side of it is whether Obama's actions on medical marijuana and marijuana in general, and his general poor showing on the issue, will inspire a lot of people who might have otherwise voted for him to either vote against him, be it, you know, for Mitt Romney, or more likely for Gary Johnson, the Libertarian candidate, or just simply not casting a vote for president, but voting for other things. So those are two hypotheticals that are being talked about quite a bit right now.
I also wonder about the on the other side of the aisle there, Mitt Romney. We played that clip of him, you know, asking whether or not there were legitimate issues to talk about. How's that playing out there?
Oh, yeah. You know, I mean, people certainly on our side of the fence against medical marijuana are by and large not going to be supportive of Mitt Romney regardless. You know, at least Obama has acknowledged that there is a legitimate debate to be had. Of course, he hasn't treated it that way. But, you know, I think that really what it comes down to is whether the administration really does more to upset this growing and already very large voting bloc. You know, we've got tens of thousands of medical marijuana patients, at one point over 100,000, but roughly at 80,000 at any given time. That's a lot of people who are going to be upset if they continue to see Obama's administration taking negative actions against medical marijuana.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Mace DeVert, for joining us, and of course for all the great work you're doing out there in Colorado. And let's get it legalized in 2012. Thanks for everything.
Thanks so much,
Mitch. All right. When we come back, Radical Rant, we're going to talk about the Oregonian, the largest newspaper in Portland, in the whole state, and their stance on legalization. Oh, my God. Wait till you hear this.
You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Hey, how's it going? My name's Will. I don't work at a used record store. I don't own an iguana, although I'm sure they make great pets. I don't have dreadlocks or play the acoustic guitar. I can remember quite well, thank you, and no, I don't constantly have the munchies. When 420 comes around, I've still got 40 minutes of work left. I've never hit a girl on a bike with my car or shot my friend with a shotgun. I've never had to apologize for letting a girl I was watching drown in a pool while I was getting high because, duh, I wouldn't be getting high if I was around children. I'm a regular guy who works regular jobs, just like the majority of all Americans who use marijuana occasionally and responsibly. My name is Will, and I'm normal.
You want answers?
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!
You want answers?
You have offended my family?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
And you have offended Shaolin Temple.
You can't handle the truth!
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Radical Rant.
All right, folks. Got to dig into a couple of editorials here that were published in our local newspaper, the Oregonian, with regard to the Oregon Cannabis Tax Act, now known as Measure 80. And this originally caught my eye, you know, because when he made the ballot back on Wednesday, no, we didn't make it on Wednesday, July 18th, but on July 18th, the Oregonian published this thing. This is the Oregonian editorial board that said, talking marijuana, parentheses, legalization, without the giggles. And they opened by saying, we could get the stoner jokes out of the way now. Is Oregon's marijuana legalization initiative counting on a high turnout? Will the campaign end with the sweet smell of success? Will the campaign spokesman be Willie Nelson? Actually, he already supports the measure. And so forth. And that's their opening, right? But the basic point of that one back on July 18th was that there deserved to be some sort of legitimate discussion, right? And they closed by saying, in 2010, the Oregonian opposed an initiative broadly expanding access to medical marijuana on the grounds that it was a devious backdoor approach to legalization. And that if Oregonians wanted that debate, they should have it directly. It seems we will. Okay, so I'm thinking, all right, now Oregonians like recognize that, hey, we did the serious work, we got it on the ballot, we want to have a serious discussion about this. And then, 10 days later, this last Saturday, July 28th, I got this through probably one of the social network feeds, I don't remember which one, I think Kalika was saying it was disgusting or somebody, and I said, all right, I got to take a look at this one. And this was by the Oregon, wait a minute, that's the right one. Okay, Susan Nielsen, she's one of the editors there at the Oregonian, and it's entitled, Marijuana in Oregon. Pot legalization measure would give kids quite an education. That's right, folks. We're bringing out What About the Children? Already, it's only July. So here's how she opens. Hey, kids, long-term and heavy use of marijuana isn't bad for the brain. Well, she's right. It's not. Long-term and heavy use of marijuana has been shown even in chronic users like myself to not have any serious deleterious effects. Or we could just say two words, Carl Sagan. Anyway, she continues, this is the kind of fact included in the text of Measure 80, the marijuana legalization initiative that qualified this month for the November ballot. The measure isn't just a pushback against federal drug laws. It's also a backdoor attempt to make public school teach weed-friendly lessons to the students. Right. Not only are we talking What About the Children, her attack here against legalizing marijuana is that it would force public schools to teach weed-friendly lessons to the students. Now, what she is pointing out here is, in the initiative, there are a certain amount of the funds from the taxation that goes toward drug education. And it mandates that the drug education be based on science. Yes, science and medicine. And that kids wouldn't be taught that this is your brain on drugs with the fried egg, right? And they wouldn't be told such ludicrous misstatements as the gateway theory. If you smoke marijuana, you'll inevitably become a heroin user. They'll be taught that there's such things as use and abuse. Yes, yes. So this is how they want to go about scaring people here, right? So, here's another one with little scare quotes. Hey, kids. Did you know that George Washington grew cannabis and that or that Thomas Jefferson invented a cannabis processing device? It says so in Measure 80. Well, no, it actually says so in the historical record. It actually says so in George Washington's own freaking handwriting. It actually says so in Thomas Jefferson's own freaking handwriting. Measure 80 points out our actual heritage, you know, teaching kids the facts, you know, oh my God, maybe we might also teach them that the wagons that came over the Oregon Trail that actually founded this state were covered in hemp cloth, burning oil lamps that burned either whale oil, which was somewhat hard to get at the time, or hemp oil, one of the two. But no, we're not going to talk so much about that, are we? You don't want to talk about that. We don't want the kids to have any factual information about marijuana. Anyway, she continues on. This is Susan Nielsen writing. Backers say taxing commercial marijuana sales would generate $140 million a year. Under the measure, 1% of the net proceeds from those sales would help fund a drug education program in all Oregon school districts. Well, yeah, okay. We want to teach kids facts about drugs. I think that's a good idea. You seem to like it when it was called DARE, when it was cops coming in and teaching them falsehoods. Let's try the facts for once here. The program would be required to meet three goals. First, it would teach citizens to teach students how drug abusers harm others. Well, okay. Sounds good, right? Teach kids that drug abusers, people who abuse drugs, can cause harm to others. I'm not sure what she's objecting to here. Second, it would convince students to be good citizens if they choose to use psychoactive drugs as adults. Psychoactive is a broad term covering everything from caffeine to opioids, LSD, and marijuana. Yes. Yes, caffeine is psychoactive. Surprise! Facts and science intruded in your editorial. And would convince them, if they choose to use drugs, to be good citizens. Which is kind of saying, use responsibly. Seems to be a message we talk about with alcohol all the time. Drink responsibly. Go ahead and use the psychoactive substance, but be a good citizen. Third, she continues, it would persuade students to decline to do drugs by providing them with accurate information about the threat these drugs pose to their mental and physical development. Oregon teachers might wonder what constitutes accurate information about marijuana, the most politicized weed on the planet. Helpfully, the initiative sponsors anticipated the question. The measure is silent on the potential health risks of teen marijuana use, and it includes a 30-point preamble of beliefs and findings that Oregonians, by voting yes, declare to be true. That long-term marijuana users do not deviate significantly from their social peers in terms of mental function. Well, yes, that is true. Moderate marijuana use causes very little impairment of psychomotor functions. Well, also true. People who say marijuana is a gateway drug are lying. Yeah. And in fact, such lies destroy the credibility of valid educational measures about moderate and responsible use and valid warnings against other truly dangerous drugs. Yes. Yes, many people that were told marijuana was the gateway and then they didn't gateway out of it, then didn't believe any of the messages that you were giving them about other drugs. Marijuana is relatively non-addictive and comparatively harmless euphoriant used and cultivated for more than 10,000 years without a single lethal overdose. Yeah. Marijuana use does not constitute a public health problem of any significant dimension. Yeah. People have been misled about the true environmental and medical benefits of hemp and marijuana by federal and corporate misinformation campaigns. Yep. Got that, she says. And don't forget the part about George Washington and Thomas Jefferson, our cannabis-loving founding fathers. Well, they did grow massive fields of hemp. So her whole problem with this is that we might start telling the truth. We might start telling the truth, but then she comes in here and says, oh, Paul Stanford owns the medical marijuana clinics. The pro-drug preamble is part of a legal strategy. The goal of drug education is to provide cannabis, blah, blah, blah. But anyway, that's her attack, what about the children attack, which again is a failure. The other Oregonian editorial also came out on Saturday, the 28th. Oregon pot legalization measure, hard to take seriously. These are the ones that 10 days before were saying we wanted to have a discussion about this without the giggles, but now they're saying, well, we can't help but giggle. All right. So they start by saying the Oregon Cannabis Tax Act, we'll say this as charitably as we can, does not lend itself to a serious debate. All right. And then they go on to say this is a problem and missed opportunity because we've got this breach in the medical marijuana program and people are using that to legalize yada yada, their same old Oregonian argument about medical. There are good reasons for legalizing pot, they say. It's arguably no more damaging than alcohol. It's arguably no more damaging than alcohol. Arguably no more damaging than alcohol. How about it's a whole hell of a lot less damaging than alcohol. How about that in there? Let me give you some statistics here. Samot, number one, in the comments here, provided these for us so wonderfully. There are 83% of homicides are linked to alcohol use of some sort. 72% of stabbings, 81% of wife beatings, 41% of rape cases, 73% of child beating cases, 73% of all felonies. One person dies in an auto accident every 30 minutes because of alcohol in the United States. 3/4 of all adults drink alcohol, and 6% of them are alcoholics. So, no more damaging than alcohol. No, a hell of a lot less damaging than alcohol, right? So right there, you know where they're coming from here. They say there are also good reasons to refuse legalizing it, among them preventing easier access for the children. As if kids are not getting weed now. This is the thing that always blows my mind in the what about the children argument. Oh my God, we can't legalize weed. Kids might smoke pot. Hello? They're smoking pot now. It's easier for them to get it now when they can be making massive profits on it, dealing it in their high school parking lots. You don't find a lot of tequila dealers in the high school parking lots. Don't find a lot of Pabst Blue Ribbon dealers in the high school parking lots. Oh, it's just insane. Yeah, let's regulate it. Let businessmen run it who can lose their business licenses if they sell to minors. Let's have them in adults-only stores where there's cameras. And let's card anybody that looks under the age of 40. Yeah, that'll lead to more access for kids. Yeah, how do you argue with these people? You know, after 5-6 years here, I don't even know. I think they just might have a damaged chromosome or something. Something that prevents them from understanding basic logic. Anyway. Let me go on. They go on to say, okay, here's the Oregon. What about the children? We got that one right. Oh my God, the children. Here's the next one. It's attack of the pot dealers, man. Here's their thing. But the choice for before Oregonians doesn't involve expansion of a farcical medical marijuana program into a thoughtfully constructed legalization program. Instead, we're being asked to swap one farce for another. Consider who'd be calling the shots. The Oregon Cannabis Tax Act would vest oversight power in a special commission, the Oregon Cannabis Commission, which would license people to cultivate and process marijuana for sale at commission stores. These would be the marijuana equivalent of state liquor stores. For the commission's first year of existence, its 7 members would be appointed by the governor. After that, 5 of its 7 members would be chosen by marijuana growers and processors. That's right! The marijuana industry would oversee the marijuana industry, which would do business in a collection of state-run stores. Oregon ought to be getting out of the booze business, not into the pot business. Okay, so the issue here is that the state oversight board over the medical, over the marijuana industry would partially be composed of people who are in the marijuana industry. Am I right on that? That's our problem, right? Yeah. So I went and looked on Oregon.gov, just because I'm that kind of guy, for the composition and the statutorial discretion here of the Oregon State Board of Agriculture. I figure, you know, pot's agricultural, isn't it? Here's the Oregon statute. The State Board of Agriculture is composed of 10 members. Oregon's governor appoints 9 of the board members. The chair of the Oregon Soil and Water Conservation Commission serves as the 10th member. The director of the Oregon Department of Agriculture and the dean of the College of Agriculture at Oregon State University serve as ex officio members. State law requires, get your highlighters out, folks. State law requires 7 of the appointed board members be actively engaged in the production of agricultural commodities and that the governor seek to ensure that these members reflect the diverse nature of agricultural commodity production within Oregon. 2 board members shall be appointed who are not actively involved in the agricultural industry to be representative of the public interest. Wait a minute. Are you telling me by law 70% of the Oregon Board of Agriculture has to be composed of farmers? Okay. Now, I will admit there's a slight difference there. In this case, the governor is appointing certain farmers. And in the case of OCTA, the Measure 80, they're saying that the growers themselves would decide who those people are to be. But also in OCTA, the legislature is given the permission, given the power to change that. They could actually say, no, you know what? Let's have the governor pick. Now, they have to pick from growers. Maybe you growers will nominate some growers or something, but really the governor should. Hey, we're cool with that. Whatever. We can negotiate that kind of stuff. But to try to scare the people of Oregon into thinking this is going to be some sort of big conspiracy industry insider trading kind of thing, when that's the way the agriculture board works right now, seems a little ludicrous to me. And then, of course, the measure has other oddities. It would prohibit the disclosure of information on all applicants and licensees, including names, without their consent. Such opacity is disturbing, but also interesting given the measure's claims, made in a lengthy preamble that federal and corporate misinformation campaigns have covered up the environmental, industrial, and medical wonders of the marijuana plant. You'd think that a group that so loathes secrecy and cover-ups would hesitate to hide the names of those licensed to grow and process marijuana for public consumption. Oh my God, really? You want to play the transparency game here? Oh my God. Hey, how about this? How about that the people who are growing marijuana in their homes have something that's worth a lot of money? And if people could go to a place on a website at a state location and download and list who those people are. It would just be like a little, you know, a little smorgasbord for rippers out there. Did you ever stop to think that maybe security, maybe we know what we're doing here and we realize that you have to keep that kind of stuff secret for this to be safe? Come on, Oregonian. This is so sad that your big opposition here is that there would be an oversight board of pot growers and that we would teach kids the truth about marijuana. That's the big objection. Wow. If that's all we have to fight against, then we're going to pass this. We're going to pass this with flying colors, people. We got truth, facts, and logic on our side. And Mason Tvert was right. Tell everyone you know about this legalization and that you support these legalizations in Washington, in Colorado, and in Oregon. It's going to take all of us convincing every one of us that, yes, this is the right thing to do. This is the right time to do it. 2012 is the year of change. The Mayans were right. This is where their calendar ends. People don't know this. The Mayan calendar was written to predict the end of marijuana prohibition. It could be true.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com.
All right, folks, for Wiz Kaliko, Ganja John, Ryan the Red, Cannabis Carry, I'm Radical Russ. Thanks for joining us. Stay tuned for Hour 2. And until next time, take care of each other, tokers. You're